Hermione opened Mosty Potenty Potions carefully, and the three of them bent over the damp-spotted pages. It was clear from a glance why it belonged in the restricted section. Some of the potions had effects almost too gruesome to think about, and there were some very unpleasant illustrations, which included a man who seemed to have been turned inside out, and a witch sprouting several extra pairs of arms out of her head.
"Here it is," said Hermione excitedly, as she found the page headed The Polyjuice Potion.
It was decorated with drawings of people halfway through transforming into other people. Harry sincerely hoped the artist had imagined the looks of intense pain on their faces.
"This is the most complicated potion I've ever seen," said Hermione, as they scanned the recipe. "Lacewing flies, leeches, fluxweed, knotgrass," she murmured, running her finger down the list of ingredients. "Well, they're easy enough. They're in the student store cupboard. We can help ourselves. Ooh, look, powdered horn of a bicorn. Don't know where we're going to get that. Shredded skin of a boomslang. That'll be tricky, too. And, of course, a bit of whoever we want to change into."
"Excuse me," said Ron sharply. "What do you mean, a bit of whoever we're changing into? I'm drinking nothing with crab's toenails in it." Hermione continued as though she hadn't heard him.
"We don't have to worry about that yet, though, because we add those bits last."
Ron turned speechless to Harry, who had another worry.
"Do you realize how much we're going to have to steal, Hermione? Shredded skin of boomslang, that's definitely not in the students' cupboard. What are we going to do, break into Snape's private stores? I don't know if this is a good idea."
Hermione shut the book with a snap.
"Well, if you two are going to chicken out, fine," she said.
There were bright pink patches on her cheeks, and her eyes were brighter than usual.
"I don't want to break rules, you know. I think threatening Muggleborns is far worse than brewing up a difficult potion. But if you don't want to find out if it's Malfoy, I'll go straight to Madame Pince now and hand the book back in."
"I never thought I'd see the day when you'd be persuading us to break rules," said Ron.
"All right, we'll do it. But not toenails, okay?"
"How long will it take to make, anyway?" said Harry, as Hermione, looking happier, opened the book again.
"Well, as the fluxweed has got to be picked at the full moon, and the lacewings have got to be stewed for 21 days, I'd say it'd be ready in about a month, if we can get all the ingredients."
"A month?" said Ron. "Malfoy could have attacked half the Muggleborns in the school by then." But Hermione's eyes narrowed dangerously again, and he added swiftly,
"But it's the best plan we've got, so full steam ahead, I say."
However, while Hermione was checking the coast was clear for them to leave the bathroom, Ron muttered to Harry, "It'll be a lot less hassle if you can just knock Malfoy off his broom tomorrow." Harry woke early on Saturday morning, and lay for a while thinking about the coming Quidditch match. He was nervous, mainly at the thought of what Wood would say if Gryffindor lost, but also at the idea of facing a team mounted on the fastest racing brooms gold could buy. He had never wanted to beat Slytherin so badly. After half an hour of lying there with his insides churning, he got up, dressed, and went down to breakfast early, where he found the rest of the Gryffindor team huddled at the long, empty table, all looking uptight and not speaking much. As 11 o'clock approached, the whole school started to make its way down to the Quidditch Stadium. It was a muggy sort of day, with a hint of thunder in the air. Ron and Hermione came hurrying over to wish Harry good luck as he entered the changing rooms. The team pulled on their scarlet Gryffindor robes, then sat down to listen to Wood's usual pre-match pep talk.
"Slytherin have better brooms than us," he began. "No point denying it, but we've got better people on our brooms. We've trained harder than they have. We've been flying in all weathers."
"Too true," muttered George Weasley. "I haven't been properly dry since August."
"And we're going to make them rue the day they let that little bit of slime Malfoy buy his way onto their team."
Chest heaving with emotion, Wood turned to Harry.
"It'll be down to you, Harry, to show them that a seeker has to have something more than a rich father. Get to that snitch before Malfoy or die trying, Harry, because we've got to win today. We've got to."
"So, no pressure, Harry," said Fred, winking at him. As they walked out onto the pitch, a roar of noise greeted them, mainly cheers, because Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff were anxious to see Slytherin beaten. but the Slytherins in the crowd made their boos and hisses heard too. Madam Hooch, the Quidditch teacher, asked Flint and Wood to shake hands, which they did, giving each other threatening stares and gripping rather harder than was necessary.
"On my whistle," said Madam Hooch. "Three, two, one!"
With a roar from the crowd to speed them upwards, the 14 players rose towards the leaden sky. Harry flew higher than any of them, squinting around for the snitch.
"All right there, Scarhead!" yelled Malfoy, shooting underneath him as though to show off the speed of his broom.
Harry had no time to reply. At that very moment a heavy black bludger came pelting towards him. He avoided it so narrowly that he felt it ruffle his hair as it passed.
"Close one, Harry,"
said George, streaking past him with his club in his hand, ready to knock the bludger back towards a Slytherin. Harry saw George give the bludger a powerful whack in the direction of Adrian Pusey, but the bludger changed direction in mid-air and shot straight for Harry again. Harry dropped quickly to avoid it, and George managed to hit it hard towards Malfoy. Once again, the bludger swerved like a boomerang and shot at Harry's head. Harry put on a burst of speed and zoomed towards the other end of the pitch. He could hear the bludger whistling along behind him. What was going on? Bludgers never concentrated on one player like this. It was their job to try and unseat as many people as possible. Fred Weasley was waiting for the bludger at the other end. Harry ducked as Fred swung at the bludger with all his might. The bludger was knocked off course.
"That's done it!"
Fred yelled happily. But he was wrong. As though it was magnetically attracted towards Harry, the bludger pelted after him once more, and Harry was forced to fly off at full speed. It had started to rain. Harry felt heavy drops fall onto his face, splattering onto his glasses. He didn't have a clue what was going on in the rest of the game until he heard Lee Jordan, who was commentating, say,
"Slytherin lead, 60 points to 0.
The Slytherin superior brooms were clearly doing their jobs, and meanwhile the mad bludger was doing all it could to knock Harry out of the air. Fred and George were now flying so close to him on either side that Harry could see nothing at all except their flailing arms, and had no chance to look for the snitch, let alone catch it.